This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malolale and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy Fridays, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and across from me is my usual Cook Island Coley, Tinidao Arona. T, we're Fridays. The weeks are just flying by.
Flying by indeed. Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to all our listeners. Today's episode is a very, very special one. Do you know why, Sammy?
I actually do, and I'm about to stand up for it and just raise the bat in cricket, but let everyone know why it's special.
Today's episode is 150 episodes done on Neesian Footy. So our 150th episode. Again, I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who has helped us along this journey, from our producer Declan to our other producer Tiana.
Yep.
We've also had Sefa Paulo,
Wuhopwate,
Tupo Sopawanga,
all our family
and friends, and all our guests who have made our show Neesian Footy.
And of course, all the listeners across the Pacific. We really appreciate all the love and the messages that we get along the way. So hopefully there's another 150 more to go.
Well, let's continue on to provide the people with what we've got on our show today.
And let's get into it here.
So we've got, today we'll be covering last night's NRL round 6 kickoff, where the Dolphins took on the Panthers, and geez, what a game that was for one of the teams. We'll dive deep into that. We'll also be joined with our regular experts, Sala Tongatuki and Totai Kefu, who will cover the rest of the NRL and Super Rugby. We've also got our segments where we've got our knockout tipping comp. We've got our dream team, All-Stars 2025 Neesian Footy. So strap in.
Let's get started.
Footy news coming up.
Hey, this is Sarah Rabatini, and you're listening to Neesian Footy on ABC Australia.
T. Rugby league. I know you're looking at that list, just going, looking at the Panthers, just thinking, what is doing?
Yeah, look, it's a strange one. You know, four in a row, the Penrith Panthers have won the NRL competition. They were also in the grand final five times in a row. So when you look at the position that they're in now, you know, you'd be hurting if you were a Panthers fan. But if you're not a Panthers fan,
yeah,
you know that you've banked, you know, this feeling for 5 years, and now it is time where, you know, there's out west, there's,
you know, if you're not a Panthers fan,
those fans out there,
they're ruthless
across the Pacific as well. You know, I know that you're enjoying this moment, but let's dive into last night's game where the Panthers defeated the Dolphins 30-12 to the Dolphins. That is insane. You know, the amount of 30 points conceded by the Panthers, but let's start with the Panthers, and then, because I don't want to take away the attention of the Dolphins and, you know, the way that they've turned their season around, the performance that they put together last night. We can't, you know, just keep talking about the Panthers and the way that they're performing.
It's not how bad the Panthers were. Like, the other team's actually playing really well.
So, but we will start with the Panthers. What are your thoughts on, you know, where they're at now? Yeah, you know, why are they only one win from six games?
I think to state the obvious, they're missing so many players. You can't keep ripping out world-class players every year and expect to, you know, continue to be on that same high every single year. And they've done an amazing job to be able to do that. Like, we look at world-class players, Crichton, Luai, Api Korosau, Viliami Kikau. Mate, the list goes on. So
Spencer Lenu.
So like Critter. Fisher Harris. There we go. Like, it's, and so when, as a team, when you're preparing now, like, sometimes you've already lost the game when you're looking across and go, oh man, how are we going to nullify those type of players? But now when it's not a Fisher Harris in that number 8 jersey, it's not a Stephen Crichton in the number 4 jersey, you're going, you know what?
We're a chance here.
So that's how I see it. You know, in basic terms, it's just, yeah. the aura's gone from because some of those players have left.
Yep. No, I agree. And also Jerome Luai being one of those players that have left. Remember, Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai, they played when they were juniors together for Panthers. So they've gone through this journey as a young as young kids. And then, you know, the missing a missing piece of that puzzle is Jerome Luai. Now it's, okay, who fills in that space? Same as, you know, James Fisher-Harris. But just with this year, the Panthers, they've only had, they've had a different spine 5 games of the six.
Really?
Of the six so far. So they've had a different spine. So when we talk about spine, it's the hooker, the halfback, and the 5'8", and the fullback. So they're your spine players. So they're the ones who guide the team around the park. Now, they haven't had the same spine for more than, you know, 3 games.
And you know, it's like as a player, as a back rower, or when you're in those other positions, you rely heavily on their direction and their management. And Cleary, as well as a seven, like he sometimes his eyes are at the ruck, and that voice from the outside, from Jerome just organising other stuff, that plays a big part into letting him play freely. Mm. Now with Blaze there last night, he's an excellent young footballer coming through, but he's probably still finding his feet in that position as well, and it's just not happening at the moment, that cohesion.
The biggest concern for me, though, is the defence. Now, I always say that defence wins competitions. Not only does it win games, it also wins comps, but they've over the last 6 games, they've conceded 170 points. Now, that's on average 28 points a game. It's very hard to win a game when you're conceding 28 points because you have to score more than 28.
That's crazy considering that was their bread and butter.
You compare that to the Bulldogs, who are at the top of the ladder, and they've conceded the least amount of points in 58 points in 5 games. That's under 12 points per game. So, you know, as a rugby league player, I remember, like, throughout our career, you know, the goal was always, throughout my career, the goal was always to be, you know, under 16 points gives you a chance to win the game. When you're conceding over 28 points, you know, that's worrying signs that it's going to be a tough day at the office for the Panthers. So,
is that all you do at training? Like, forget everything else, attack and that? Do you just go, we're just going to get our defense right first and then try and get that number down? And just worry about scoring points off the back of trying to strangle teams again when you look at how to review and prepare for games coming up?
Well, then reviewing last night's game, there were simple defensive errors where the player didn't know whether to come in, come out, the chemistry of the, at that edge line. So one missed tackle leads into a line break, which leads into a try. Now going into last night's game, the Dolphins, geez, you know, the performance that they've put together last night, I just think it's going to set them up for the rest of the season. Now, the one thing I loved, yes, the Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, their fullback, yes, he was the MVP of the night. He also scored 3 tries, but it was his 2 defensive try savers. Yeah. And seeing the intent, the scramble, and the desperation to get to the corner and save that try from being scored, that's what makes the team. And that happened right across the park in terms of their desperation of defending their try line. Panthers scored 2 tries, but they were both, one was off a grubber kick, the other one was off a kick, and then the Dolphins player tried to kick it out and kicked it straight to Moses Leota, who scored the try. But the desperation, yeah, that's effort, that's attitude. Defense is always attitude. The other thing I loved about the Dolphins, their shape. So they've got the halves in Nikarima and Katoa to look up, scan the field, and then pull the trigger to play shape to get the ball out. And they're getting the ball out to their speed players. So you've got Hammer that's coming at the back. 2 tries where Hammer's got it out the back, draw the center, the defensive center, so the Panthers center on both sides, and put both centers through the hole, backed up, supported through the inside, and then scored the try for the Dolphins on 2 occasions, one on the left and one on the right. But, Sammy, the Dolphins, now, they lost their first 4 games in a row. And the last 2 games, they've obviously won. But to get through that period, you know, there were comments made after the game from the coach and the captain. Now, the coach, Christian Wolf, he mentioned throughout that period, those first four games, he was saying how proud he was of the players just turning up on the Monday, still ready to work, still smiling, still sticking together. Now, the captain gave a huge shout out to Isaiah Katoa and said he kept the group together through his guidance and also mentioned his humility. Now, a huge congratulations to Isaiah Katoa, who played his 50th game last night. So I want to give a huge shout out to him because I think the way that he's played, he's really stepping up as a leader. Remember, he was also a Penrith junior. So that would have been a big moment for him last night. Dolphins' first ever win against the Panthers.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I love what you said about that around Wolfie keeping the team tight in those losses. You know, it was a tough start with the floods and the cyclone, and they had to quickly evacuate.
Yeah,
the preparation.
Flying early, flying
home. Yeah, exactly. So it was all that. But, you know, and then he didn't panic, you know, he stayed tight. And I reckon him coaching Tonga would have had a big part of, like, understanding, you know, bringing teams together. Family's important. It's not always about the X's and O's of footy and trying to tighten up when you lose games and say, no, we don't want any more outside distractions. Like, he's talked about staying tight, and he's done that even in that multicultural week. Isaiah's family, his dad Gotoni and the family came and cooked pigs throughout the week, and they had a massive feed as a team. So, like, all those little things play a big part into cohesion and just keeping a happy environment, because you're not always going to get the results. So I feel like now it's helped them with these two wins.
Well, the Dolphins currently sit 12th on the ladder and the Panthers are at 15th. I still believe that they can turn their season around, the Panthers. They just need that one win and, you know, they'll get on a roll. And in other rugby league news, we have the PNG Hunters. They will play the Ipswich Jets this weekend in Ipswich. So if you're in Ipswich, head down, watch the boys play. And Cavite Silktails, they will play the Bulldogs at Belmore in the Jersey Flag competition this weekend.
Beautiful. Down the road from my house.
You'll be getting down there, Sammy.
Yeah, I think I might head down there for a little watch. Hopefully the boys can get one over the Doggies.
And remember, the rest of the NRL Round 6, you can hear live on ABC Radio Australia.
Beautiful work, T. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's get over to Rugby Union. And I'll keep this one pretty short because we've got some experts coming on, which is great. But I will start with my mail has been on point, T. My mail's been on point every single time. I don't really miss much. Would you agree?
The delivery man, Postman Pat, yeah. Postman Sam.
Postman Sam, there it is. I have delivered. So I mentioned last week, Tusi Pisi was going to be announced as the Samoan head coach, Manu Samoa, and it's happened. Lemalu Tusiata Pisi, he has been officially announced as Manu Samoa's new head coach. So he's a former fly half for Manu Samoa, 42 caps. He's played Super Rugby. He's played in Japan, played in England and France. Hey, keep note of this, T, because think of this for Monday. Give me three. It's my turn. So just take note.
What did you say before? What was it?
Just think of Tusi Pisi and give me three. So I'm just giving you the heads up right now. Days. Okay. But he's got a wealth of knowledge, and I feel like he is the right man for that job. And hopefully, I don't know if it's true or not, but hopefully Alessana Tuilangi, he gets announced as well. I'm hoping, because he's a champion. He lives on the island. But my other male is Tom Coventry from Wana Pacifica, the forwards coach. I believe he'll be joining Manu Samoa as well. So they're going to have a fantastic coaching team to be able to lead Manu Samoa into a new phase, especially going into the World Cup in 2027 and into their first test match against Scotland on the 18th of July at Eden Park in Auckland. So I reckon that's going to be a packed house there. Plenty of Samoans will show up for that one against Scotland. So big congrats to him, and hopefully they can, you know, some positive signs ahead for Samoa. And as I look towards the other Super Rugby games, Zane Nongal, 50 caps for the Reds. I think that's a big achievement. I think the only other one to any other PNG player to reach a milestone in Super Rugby is Will Genya. So that's a big one for him, the tight end prop for the Reds, and they are flying at the moment. And then with the grand final for Super Rugby Women's, I think for the Reds, I reckon they're gonna do the job this week. I feel like that loss to them early in the year, I feel like they're in a good spot. just the way that the forwards lay a really solid platform for them.
What was the score when they played the Waratahs?
Yeah, the last time these two teams met, it was the Waratahs winning 36-14. And since then, you know, the Reds have done, you know, they've had some hard-fought wins, but some good wins. They won 26-22 against the Brumbies, and then they 47-10 over the Western Force, and then 54-40 over Fiji and Drua in the semi-final. So they've got the attack right.
We're going to add this to our knockout tipping comp?
We should do, actually.
You're going to go Reds?
I'm going to go Reds.
All right. I'll go Blues.
It's a good matchup. Yeah. It's a great matchup. I think the Waratahs, you know, they as well have gotten better each week, and they had a lot of players missing from last year. So
don't talk about me because, you know, I have to pick the Tars.
That's what I do. Trying to convince you. Hey, yeah. It worked for Minor Pacifica last week.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of Shalom's now.
Yeah, she's going to be the difference in this game. She 100% will be. If she gets early ball, good luck to those centers trying to contain her. But yeah, I'm going to tip the Reds on that one, but we'll get to that for our knockout tipping comp from there. So good luck to those two teams. It's been outstanding, that competition, a lot closer. And I think for the Fijian Drua ladies, a heads up. Like, honestly, they've been in the last, 3 grand finals, and they've only been in the competition for 4 years. So 3 grand finals they've been in. So in their short amount of time, they've tasted a lot of success. Now they get to have a bit more of a rest and get ready for the test season and come back better for next year.
Hey, it could be worse. Could be the Panthers.
You're not wrong there. Or the Drua men team at the moment. Nah, jokes. Boys, all the best. Eh? Turn the season around.
Kick off your Sunday with Kuntamari Crofts on Pacific Sundays right here on ABC Radio Australia. Pacific Sundays is a laid-back weekly wrap of all things Pacific, from news, sport, and entertainment to the best island music vibes. So whether you're chilling out, heading off to church, or catching up with family, be entertained as you do it with Pacific Sundays. Every Sunday at 6 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
And just want to let you know as well, finally, where Super Rugby is at the moment. Finally, there's been an uptick in viewership. Viewership, it's flying. Our game is finally flying, not to the extent of NRL. Sadly, I have to admit that. But it says Fiji have about 400,000 people watching their Drua team in Fiji. So about a third of their
population. Is it free to air in Fiji?
It's on all platforms. So we've got apps and stuff, free to wear and that. But where I feel like that is wrong, that stat, is the fact that when someone has the TV on at their house,
yeah,
there's about 20 or 30 people watching the game.
So you can times that by at least another 10.
Exactly. So I just think the whole country is watching. I think it's a population of about 930,000. I reckon everyone's watching the Drua. And then you count the ones that are at the game, so which is huge for that country, and just shows that if you build it, they will come. So you keep investing in the Pacific for that. But for other rugby union news, finally, the Sevens format, we have the final leg of the Sevens Challenger Series is this weekend in Krakow in Poland, featuring Tonga and Samoa men's. Samoa women ended in 11th spot, so they won't compete in Poland. And the top four teams at the end of this weekend get to play in LA for the chance to move back into the main series next year. Samoa are in fifth, Tonga are in eighth in the men's, and they are in the same pool alongside Germany, who are second, and Chile, who are fourth. So a big weekend for Samoa and Tonga men's in the sevens to hopefully qualify for the main series for next year. So good luck to both of those teams. All right, that's enough of Super Rugby Pacific. And let's get over to Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Welcome back to our New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar and Fetu Samoan and Jillaroo representative, Sala Tongatuki. Sala, welcome to Nation Footy Fridays, as always.
Good morning. It's good to be on here.
I'm going to start off, kick us straight off with... how was your football game on Monday night? The soccer, sorry for everyone. The soccer.
Oh, my gosh.
T said you have two left feet.
Oh, I don't
Shocking.
Know. I don't, It was, yeah. I don't know what was going on there. I got roped into it. I was only meant to just go see what the food was like. And my sister was asking me, oh, we got no one. And I was like, no, I can't be playing, whatever. Just trying to keep off the feet for Origin training. And then Mahalia Murphy is like, I need a teammate. But I was like, oh. So I jumped in there and filled in for them. And my sister saw... She was off me because she was like, I asked you to play for my team and you said, no, you're staying off your feet, and I look over and you're playing.
So that's the Pacific Fives, is it?
Pacific Fives, Pac
yeah.
Fives.
Pac Fives,
yeah.
In, so a concept that is held out at Western Sydney. And
at the Wanderers' home ground.
At the Wanderers, so the soccer Wanderers team, their home ground. They've got the little futsal, so the smaller fields, soccer fields with the walls, and it's 5v5, and it's, you know, every Monday evening. I think the final is next week, but it's all about, you know, promoting active sport for our women, for our Pacific women.
So only women's teams?
Only women's
teams. Oh, awesome.
And, it's pretty cool because T's mum, probably her second season, and it's just awesome seeing, like, it doesn't matter the age or, you know, the youth, like everyone's mixed in there. So it's, yeah, that's pretty cool seeing your mum in there, T.
Yep.
Does she wear her flower
yeah,
while she
the
plays?
Flower crown, yep, the flower crown, yes,
yeah. While she plays.
She does.
Yeah, while she plays. And, yeah, there's jumping castles for the kids, there's food carts. We had a number of NRL and NRLW players come through. Stephen Crichton, Moses Leota, they were there on Monday evening as well. So it's, yeah, really cool event for our community, and well done to everyone that's involved. I know, you know, Pacific Cast run and host that event, so great work to that team. But let's rip straight into this week's NRL round 6. Salah, we'll start off with which team are you, which game are you looking forward to watching?
The Dragons versus the Titans. I'm excited to watch that game. I feel like for Dragons, probably want to see them back their spine. Build some consistency in their attack. Like, when Sloan's confident and getting good ball, I feel like it's just so dangerous for them that they've probably got to support that with some, like, tough and disciplined footy through the middle. And with Titans, I know that they're still learning to, you know, find their feet or their grind, but we know they've built, they've got some exciting players like Brimson and Campbell, so... It's probably their control and discipline and decision-making that will probably decide this one for them. And I've seen that Tino's out due to suspension, so that'll be a loss for them right through the middle. I know he does a lot of go forward for them. So, it's probably caught up other middles in their team to step up and get the job done for them, hopefully.
What's your thoughts on Keanu Kinney and him being injured at the Titans? Yeah. I think it's a big loss for the Titans missing someone like him.
It is. Yeah, no, I feel like his presence is hugely missed for the Titans. Like, you don't realise how dangerous he is, like, in attack. He finds, like, his space and he really takes it on full force. So, and even just decision-making, like, he just covers good ground in defence and just the littlest things is, like, organising your numbers. Phil, he's really good there. He's just really missed for them. So yeah. I reckon when he comes back.
And what matchups are you looking forward to?
There's so many in this one. You've got Tony Francis versus Christian Tupulotu. I feel both are powerful ball runners. I'm expecting them to probably test each other with their early carries, Moses Sully and Philip Sami. Sully's size and footwork against Sami's speed and strength out wide is probably one to watch. And Alan Fitzgibbon, he'll debut against Tyrell Sloan. I feel like he'll probably bring raw pace and energy for Titans, at the same time, he'll probably be tested by Sloan's creativity and his play. His just attack ability is a threat for them. And then you got up front, Moyaki Fotuaika. It's pretty cool. Shout out to him. He's leading the Titans as captain. And I know his leadership and probably work great will be key for them and will go another level this game. And then you've got Cleese Haas, Jaden Sawyer, real edge battle there. And you've got David Fitter will come off the bench. If game's tight, his probably impact will probably help swing it. Mm. And Arama Hull, just his third NRL appearance. I'd probably love to see him get more time. I don't know, like his couple of touches I've seen when I watched his highlights. He's explosive when the ball's in hand. So I feel like he'll probably have a good cracking game if he can get more time.
I love the Dragons back rowers, Luciano Leilua and Jaden Sua. You know, they just bring they bring that impact, but also the presence of having big, solid back rowers. You know, it just there's a scary image, but it also gives the other players around them that confidence, you know, when you're knowing you're going out with these big men. But on the other side, with David Fitter coming off the bench, you know, he will be coming on when, you know, 30, 20 minutes when these boys have already done a fair bit of work. So it's about how do they handle David Fifita under fatigue. So looking forward to that challenge when he does come on, and you know whether that whoever's got the front foot at the time.
Yeah, you just know the backs. Like obviously, I'm not a backs player, but I just hear it from a couple of backs when they say it's so good to see when middles and get a quick play of the ball, like they find their front. And that's like the two boys you've just mentioned, like those players definitely have that ability where they, you know, right through two people and they'll just find their front, get up, quick play of the ball.
Yep.
And that's a cue for the backs. And it's also, it becomes a role one, like they're in the grind now. So it's not easy as well being in the washing machine. There's so much work to be done there. So, I feel for them.
Who are you tipping?
I'll play back row. Oh, sorry. I don't know, I'll probably go with Dragons.
I'll be going, I think Dragons playing at home. I think they'd want to turn things around from last week's loss where they had to go in the first golden point and, you know, just missed out, but still going into this round with a bit of confidence. They'd want to change things around pretty quick, losing to Parramatta.
100%,
And another game that you're looking forward to?
Oh, my other game is the Storms and Warriors. I love this game. Both teams are pretty much top four of the ladder. It's a physical one, and I know it should be no different this time around. Both sides have plenty to prove, and there's probably some great matchups too in this game I found. So, yeah, I don't know, probably from Melbourne. I'd like to see their spine clicking a bit more consistently. I know you've got Pabst at the back and Munster and who's in the halves. I just feel like they've got plenty of strike amongst them three. Lately, just feel like it's been patchy. I can't talk. They're just that great of players. So Harry Grant around the ruck, he's always dangerous, especially late in sets. So I feel like they can probably look for him to expose tired defenders in the game sometime, and probably their fold pack. It's probably all about completing their sets and staying patient. We've seen glimpses of their potential. Like guys like Chance, Nicol Klokstad at fullback, he brings a lot of energy, I feel. And if the halves like Metcalf and kicking game, I know the Warriors will be in for a good one. It's just nice to see Rocco Berry back too, like when he came back last week. He just adds a bit of class, and he's just so strong and versatile. And linking up with Adam Pompey out wide, I feel like he's always a threat as well, close to the line. He's got great footwork. And then your middleman, like James Fisher-Harris, who's always been massive for them in the middle, if he can win the early collisions and lead the Warriors with aggression, there'll definitely be a real chance.
You know, you talk about back rowers in the competition. I feel like every team has got some standouts, but where do you rate the Melbourne Storm back rows up there in the competition with Katoa and Blaw? Are they in your books?
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like anyone that goes through the Melbourne system, Bellamy just knows how to use them, and he instills confidence in his players, so it brings the best out of them. And to be guided under those pairing halves like Hughes and Munster, it's a no-brainer. Like, and anyone that's going to play outside of them, like, man, I would be so confident if I was a back rower. To see Blaw go from Tigers to Melbourne, he's really he's left a print there for his name. And even Neil Corey has always been so safe for them and just so hardworking. I don't know, those two are probably the hardest working players, edge players in the game. Keep it so simple. tough, and they're just workhorses. So I rate them highly for the Storms. It's probably why Storms have been so consistent in the past couple of years. Yeah, no premiership, but they're always there.
It's a very interesting game, this one. You know, both teams full of confidence. I think the Warriors, the way that they've played their last few games, have built, and they've just coming back off a bye last week, so they'll be coming in well rested. And the Melbourne Storm doing an absolute clinic on the Manly Seagulls. So, all right, whenever you think of the Storm versus the Warriors, it gives me memories of those Anzac games that they used to play.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
you know, there's this rivalry, and you know, there's a lot of Kiwis that also support Melbourne Storm. So these ones are the ones you look forward to. What I am looking forward to, though, is also the young players that will be coming off the bench and how they react to playing one of the best teams in the competition. So those players being Leka Halasima and Dimitrik
Vaimonga.
To see how they handle that challenge, whether they can overcome it and even build on their confidence over the last couple of weeks. It'll be a huge test for these boys.
Yeah, Leka Halasima, oh my gosh, he's been so impressive in his few appearances. I know he's still learning, but he did have a solid debut.
Who are you tipping for this one?
I'm going to go with the Warriors.
Ooh.
This
game's in Melbourne, yeah?
Yes, it is. It is.
It's a tricky one. I think I don't. Well, I don't think. I reckon it could be. They could cause the upset.
But yeah, well, I love a good upset.
The Warriors are building. Yeah. The Warriors are building very nicely, and if they can get one out, over the Storm, they'll be. It'll just show where they stand for the rest of the season. Yes. It'll really set the mark. So.
Yeah.
Great work, Sulla. We, as always, each Friday, we love to hear from you and your expert advice. So thank you for joining us today on Nijin Footy Fridays, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, boys. Bye.
The Nijin Footy All-Stars.
Righto, T. Nijin Footy All-Stars. Each week, we have been picking from league and rugby union, and we're adding them to our Nijin Footy All-Stars squad to then eventually choose our starting 15 and our starting 13, which some names on this list, impressive. It's going to be tough when it comes to it to choose our starting teams.
Our stars would have had to perform in the week before, so I'll kick us off with rugby league adding to my squad. I have Murray Taulangi from the Cowboys. Now, they beat the Panthers last weekend and Murray scored 2 tries. I do need an outside back and, current Queenslander and Tor Samoa. Murray will be joining my squad and another Samoan will be joining him. And that is, I'm pretty stacked in the front rower department, but I have to add Junior Bolo from the Parramatta Eels.
How are you going to choose a starting front row? You've got Tinor, you've got Payne Haas, you've got Junior. Who else do you have in there?
Adam Fanua-Blake. We have Terrell May.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's
two players you have to choose.
But I think the way Junior's played this year, especially last week, the way that he led the boys when they beat the Dragons in the Golden Point, he ran for 180 metres and still made 28 tackles as well. And that's why he'll be joining my All-Stars Nijin Footy squad.
Good luck picking that one at the end of the year, T. But in rugby union, I've gone with William Harvili, the fullback from Moana Pacifica. He's been on fire. He's been a great link man for that team, and I think he's just combined him well with that back line, just understanding what needs to be done at certain times. He kicks well, he's finishing tries, he's passing well, so he's going into my all-star squad, and I've gone with a tight end prop too from Moana Pacifica, Feliti Sei Taufou. He's a tight end prop. He scored 3 tries, and he looks like a back rower out there. So he's going to jump into my all-star squad, and it is shaping nicely for myself as well.
Beautiful, mate. Well, let's get over to Totai Kefu to cover the rest of our rugby union news.
The rugby union preview.
Kefu!
with Totai Kefu.
Yes, each week we're joined by a Pacifica rugby legend. He's represented the Wallabies 60 times and coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years. He's now back in Japan coaching. Let's welcome him back to the show, King Kefu, Totai Kefu, the man. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, boys. I'm well. How are you both?
We're good.
We're going all right. We can tell by you the weather's
getting
warm over there. All the layers are coming off each week into your shirt. A couple of weeks yep. into the singlet, but yep. the weather warming up over there, is it?
Yeah, the weather's beautiful at the moment. All the cherry blossoms are out, so there's plenty of tourists around. And, you know, when the cherry blossom comes out, they all have their little barbecues under the trees in the parks. So there's plenty yeah. of that happening.
Hey, we're hearing some news that Joey Manu has requested a release and, you know, he's unhappy over there. Do you think a couple more weeks now that the sun's out, the cherry blossoms are out, that his decision might change? Or, you know, what do you think the reasons are for him being, you know, not happy over there?
Probably not. Oh, look, it's we're Toyota based. They're in a bit of a... They're away from the main cities, so they're kind of country-ish kind of place. You've been there, Wikes.
Yeah, Nagoya. And it is cold there, like the wind that comes through there, freezing.
Yeah, and where they stay, it's quite isolated. And for a young guy like Joey, geez, you need the big towns and the restaurants, the nightclubs, the bars, all that kind of stuff, the touristy spots. But also, they've got a pretty much a All Black coaching team, and they're struggling, mate. They could end up in the promotion relegation game. So they're around that part of the table. I think they're third last. So if they drop any more games, they could end up playing promotion relegation.
Yeah, I could imagine moving from Bondi to where he is
Nagoya, now. Nagoya, yeah, it's chalk and cheese. But in saying that, the way you get over that little hump is just maybe the 23rd of every month. You just
guessing that's payday.
That's payday.
Yeah.
They're the little wins on the board that just get you over the hump of like, you know what, it's all right. And it could be worse. You could be in Kamaishi. So you don't want to be playing there. There's nothing doing in that part of town. But let's cross over to Super Rugby. Yeah, what have you made of Moana Pacifica? Historic win in terms of back to back, and he's just got the job done again, especially their second half performances.
Well, I found out a stat that they score the most points. I think they're first, scoring the most points in the second half. So I was thinking maybe during the first half they can just slow the game down, run the clock, go set piece to set piece, kick the ball out into the stands, and maybe just wait for that second half. But oh, look, they were outstanding. That second half performance was unbelievable. That Pellegrini, Willie Havili have been outstanding all year. I really like Garden Bashup coming off the bench and partnering Pellegrini in the back line. I think that opens up things a bit. But look, they got off to a slow start. Again, the line out was, I think that was 50% in the first half. So that's something that they need to shore up this week. I think they've got the Blues, which isn't going to be easy. The most pleasing part, I think, that first half, they just hung in there. Waratahs scored a try just before halftime to push it out to 21-7, but probably should have been a lot worse, to tell you the truth. They probably should have led. Waratahs should have led by 25, 30 points. They had plenty of opportunities. But they hung on, and second half was great to see. There's some good running rugby. And just to see the crowd and the coaching box, they panned to the coaching box at one stage, and everyone was just off their seats. My old mate, Orlando Soakai, he was hugging everyone in the footage. So it was a great win, good, awesome win.
Just on that, like looking at that coaching staff, when you see an All-Pacific coaching staff like that coaching at the highest level, and you're seeing Soka, you're seeing Boliasi Manu, Tana,
yep.
Mapasua, like how does that sit with you, and how does that make you feel when you look at that and you go, holy, like we've come such a long way?
We have. We're making strides. We're making progress. And there's not only that group, but there's Polynesian coaches throughout Japan, even overseas in Europe. So that makes me feel so happy and really great to be a part of this, you know, Polynesian family.
Nice. And then just staying on the Moana Pacifica as we look to this weekend against the Auckland Blues, I reckon a cool statement from Tanner when he got asked about, the little brothers are coming up, and he goes, I don't think we've ever been tagged as little brothers. We're here to compete. So obviously going there to Eden Park with a chip on the shoulder, just say, hey, we're not just here to just be in your shadow. Yeah, what do you make of this game?
Yeah, look, it's going to be tough. As I said earlier, I think they need to really fix up that line out. I think there was one loose throw led to the Waratahs' first half try last week. So they need to shore that up, which they did in the second half. So it's doable if they can just get some consistency around that. They've got one of the big pluses from that Waratahs game was the physicality at the breakdown. If they can keep that going again this week, and the issue around all these Polynesian teams, the Drew and Moana, has just been consistency, right? So if they can spread that second half to the first half and then spread that from week to week, back it up week to week to week, then we're starting to roll. We're starting to really get things going.
Being a back row yourself, you must be pretty impressed with the way the Moana Pacifica back row getting the forwards on the front foot and really setting a platform. Like Semisi Tupou-Taloa, like he has been outstanding. I think he's leading the competition with most carries.
Where did he come from?
Otago Boys. He's still only pretty young. He's playing NPC, but yeah, he's really made that number eight his position.
He's been fantastic. And Semisi Tupou, I think that was his first or second start. He was outstanding. Artie Sevier, as we know, always influential. Sione Talituli comes back, and he's a player I rate highly. Probably should have played for the All Blacks, I reckon, but he's gonna find it hard to where they're gonna pick him. Surely he gets a start in the next couple of weeks. So I thought they were all over the Waratahs back row last week of Gleeson. Leota was quiet, didn't even see him. Gleeson and Gamble, they were okay, but they were a level ahead.
And moving over to our other Pacific team, the Drua, what are your thoughts on last week's performance?
Oh, geez, just got off again to a slow start, I thought. The Crusaders controlled territory, possession, and they probably should have gone up by a lot more points, but just simple errors from the Drua. They got into a position to attack. They dropped the ball. Just loose passes again. They looked physical at the start, but just simple errors. Their lineout fell apart again in the first half. I think it was 50%. So that's something that they need to shore up. I think they would be feeling really disappointed after last week because they come back from a week off. They look refreshed. They look really, really energetic. But I think it was 17-0 at halftime, three tries to zero. I think it got out to 31-0 in the second half. And then Drua came back in the last 10, 15 minutes. I think they scored a couple of tries, but game was already gone then.
I think, yeah, just you're not wrong. They did come out the blocks, you know, with the intention and effort and attitude to want to play well. It was their handling errors and just their turnovers at the breakdown, turnover at line-out time, some of the penalties they gave away.
Yep.
It was between 42 and 50 times, actually, for that game where they actually gave the Crusaders the ball back just through real unforced errors. So that's something that they need to address for this weekend's game against the Highlanders. But I know we've spoken about it before, but how do you get yourself out of a hole even if we look at the Penrith Panthers in the rugby league, like it's not through a lack of effort or attitude, but how do you get yourself out of a hole like this?
Yeah, I think we talked about this last year.
Yeah, we did. It was for Moana this time, but now it's for the Drua.
Look, I think you look to do something different throughout the week. for example, a good example was we lost our three home games here for Kintetsu, and then we won all our games away from home. We came back to play our fifth home game, and you know, the coaching group got together. We just looked to do something different. Like, for example, instead of holding our team meetings on game day, we changed that to a different position. We changed the warm-up a little bit, you know, just to put a different spin on it and approached it that way, just to get guys thinking differently, going to different places in the ground before game day. So little things like that. Yeah, look, I think Drua aren't too far away from how they started the season. Because they just have to go back to those first couple of games, which was unbelievable. And they're still scoring some unbelievable tries. That try from
Wonga.
Yeah, Wonga. If you take the five best tries out of Super Rugby this year, they'd all belong to the Drua, I reckon. But that try from Wonga, like, that was unbelievable. He just glided. I think, did he hurdle some bloke? He glided. And
He sold James O'Connor the house, the car, everything, like, with his dummy. He just said, for sure, I spoke to him after the game, he goes, I thought he was passing it for sure. So I just stood in the passing channel and he swerved and threw the dummy and went through. But it's interesting you talk about those tries. Talking to Mick Byrne after the game, the current head coach for Fiji, he was just saying, Fiji, the Drua, they're always going to score those two tries or three tries from nothing. Like, they're going to have that every game. It's how do they score those structured tries?
Yeah.
That's where they need to get back to, because you can't leave those type of points out there on that. But what do you think, Highlanders, can they get the job done there, turn it around? Because they're coming off a, I think, four-game losing streak as well, the Highlanders.
Yeah, look, I think, it's going to be tough for the Drua. You know, there's a couple of things they need to focus on, just those simple mistakes, and line out especially. Kuruvoli, he came off the bench last week. I thought he was really good. So he gets a start with Ravula Armstrong. And Caleb Munce actually starts at fullback for the first time. I actually think I like that. I think having Munce and Armstrong back on the field at the same time is really beneficial for them moving forward.
Yeah, look, the ladder's starting to, you know, take its shape, and you know, we've been talking about the Moana and the Drua. What's your thoughts on them making the finals this year?
Well, I think looking at the table, I think Moana has obviously got a big chance, and the confidence that they're playing with now is unbelievable. Mm. They're playing that second half that they put on against the Waratahs was bloody, just left the Waratahs for dead. That both teams still have to fix up some basic stuff around their set piece, lineouts especially, and simple errors again. Even a simple error like kicking the ball out on the full on a penalty. Like, I mean, Paul Pellegrini, first kick, he actually kicked really well against the Waratahs, but the first penalty he doesn't kick the ball out. You know, it's just simple stuff like that.
Well, he's got to think about it on the bench. He's come from the bench this week, Pellegrini. So
I've seen that.
Wow. Yeah,
what's the thoughts around that?
To be honest, I remember we played with one of the All Blacks, Albie Mathewson, when he came over to the Force. Yeah. He was saying in the Kiwi system, sometimes if you're on fire, or like even after your debut game and you kill it, you get dropped back to club footy because they want to see how you respond and where your attitude's at, just as, you know, you're on top of the world, how are you going to handle this? And I just said to Patrick, look, maybe that's the case. Like, you've been going well. They call it a freshen up, but you just got to understand that that's just, he's just going to see your response. If you're kicking stones at training, well, then they're going to know that's who you are as a person. So if you're full of energy first in there and you come on, you kill it, well, then that 10 jersey could be yours of, you know, the week straight after. So, we'll see what happens there with him. But, Kev, last one, Tusi Pisi, head coach for Samoa. Did you see that one?
Yeah, awesome. Great guy. He's over here coaching. I think he's at Shockey, but I've known him all throughout towards the end of his playing career. I think we might have even crossed paths when he was at Suntory. So great guy. You know, good luck to him. It's a it's a bit of a hot seat, the Samoan coaching, head coaching role.
Yeah, they've changed it a few times.
They have. And they've had some interesting characters in there. But I hope he can navigate the politics that's involved with those type of positions. I've been through it, and it's not easy.
Well, hopefully it gets the job done, because they've got a big test match against Scotland in Eden Park in July, I think that is. But, all the best to Samoa and all the best to his coaching career moving forward. But like my mate over here always says, it's always a pleasure to have our experts on, and we look forward to having you back again next week to deep dive into Super Rugby.
Look forward to it, boys. Thank you.
It was missionaries and colonisers who brought Christianity to the Pacific over 200 years ago. But in the years since, the region has become a melting pot of diverse faiths, beliefs, and philosophies. Pacific Soul explores this and asks, what do we believe? Join host Melissa Makin for a Talanoa about our faith and beliefs on Pacific Soul. Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, our knockout tipping comp, where we round up our show on Nijan Footy Fridays, and we'll pick one team from rugby and the NRL, and we'll keep a score. And at the end of the year, the loser will have to pay for a full day spa, lunch, dinner for...
Now, isn't this one the jersey?
Oh, is this the jersey?
Yeah, sorry. We've got too many competitions going
on. This is the jersey.
This is the jersey.
That was for...
That's for Gimme Three.
Gimme Three, yep. On Monday. Sorry, this one's for a jersey of the winner's choice. Now, this week, the score is
9-8.
I'm on 9 and you're on 8. Last year, for all our new listeners.
It was already 9-0.
I was smashing Sammy in this competition, so it's good to see he's keeping up. I'm leading by 1, but in the rugby union, I've got the choice of the Chiefs or the Drua. Left for Super Rugby.
And we're going to do the women's final as well. So there's three games here.
Three games.
Points up for grabs. Okay.
So we'll start with Rugby Union. I'm going the Chiefs to beat
the Waratahs.
The Waratahs in New South Wales. So
yeah, that's tonight's game as well.
Chiefs are on fire. I'll go off the Chiefs in that one.
Okay. Yeah, look, man, I'm just looking at all the ones that I've already picked. And I've already chosen the Drua. I haven't chosen the Highlanders yet. I think I've got to go against them. Sorry, my second home, Fiji. I've got to take the Highlanders this week in Dunedin.
Highlanders were one of the teams that actually let me down this season. So
yes, they did.
So let's go draw this weekend. Come on. In NRL, I'm going to go the Storm to beat the Warriors, although it is, I just think the Warriors can cause an upset. They're coming off a back of a bye. I will regret this, but I'm going to go the Storm.
Yeah, what you said, I think when you're talking with Salah about, you know, the Warriors playing against the Storm and all the Kiwi supporters, I reckon you're not wrong. I reckon it's similar conditions down there in Melbourne and playing in New Zealand, like greasy, cold. So I think that's why they always perform well there. We'll see.
And they're coming off, you know, a couple,
fresh.
Few good wins. They're confident. But it's just hard to see Melbourne lose with the players that they have on that pitch.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
all right, perfect. I'm actually going to go the Raiders. The Raiders to beat the Eels. I'm going to take on that one.
I know Zach Lomax this week. Raiders, they lost. Oh, no, they had that tight win last weekend,
So I'm going to back them. And
last one is the Super W. You're going to go the Queensland Reds?
Yeah, I'm going to go the Reds.
Sorry, Shalom. I'm going to have to go the Waratahs. So that's us, Sammy.
That us done. 150 done and dusted.
Mate, raise the bat. Let's go.
Unreal. High five, brother. High five. And thank you, everyone. We'll be back on Monday. And our Friday shows, of course, just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.